there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Today we are going to talk about one of my favorite all-time films, late 80s classic. When the 80s were basically my prime, I would think.
Your forming 1980 years.
Yeah, 1989 Ron Howard film Parenthood. Seems exactly quite fitting to mine and Runa's situation these days. But since I'm very, very thirsty, I'm going to just throw it over to you, Runa. What are you drinking tonight?
Today I am getting a beer that refers to some very American stuff, because I felt like Parenthood was a very American film.
Yes, it is.
This one is called Elvis Juice.
Elvis Juice.
Elvis Juice. It's a grapefruit-induced IPA from the brewery called BrewDog.
Elvis Juice. I mean, grapefruit IPA, and you... I mean, what's the thinking there? Let's call it Elvis Juice.
Did
Elvis enjoy grapefruit, or
maybe? Yes, I guess.
Maybe, I guess.
It says here on the back that this IPA packs more fruit than the whole state of California. But he wasn't even from California, so you never know. It's a confused brewery.
Maybe
this BrewDog.
Okay. They're doing something more than drinking over there, it seems.
And or maybe they're actually drinking too much.
Could be.
And can't think straight.
I have been to Graceland. Did I tell you that?
No.
I have been. Yes. The overwhelming feeling there was it's quite small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, how's the beer?
So that's, yeah. I had nothing to add to that. Yeah.
How is it? The Elvis Juice.
I'm unsure what an Elvis Juice should taste like.
Yes.
But it tastes like an IPA, but an IPA that doesn't have that sharp of an aftertaste many times. Like, they're kind of...
Sounds like my kind of IPA. Remember that, the one you gave me and I almost threw up?
Yeah.
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 I don't know. It's not for me.
No. But this one is a little bit, it's rounder. It has a rounder tone at the end. Anyway, what are you
rounder
drinking?
Rounder tone, okay.
Yes, I've never... said I'm good with describing beer or tastes. Hopefully, I'm a little bit better with movies. Hopefully.
You're fine. I'm drinking this.
That was a Hoegaarden.
Yeah. I feel it's been a while since I've drank Hoegaarden on this on the podcast.
Yeah.
And that is probably because it has been unavailable in my two local stores. So
is this imported?
Well, this is Schupp's system just came back. and you can get at the what do you call it, tax free thing?
Airport?
Yeah, the tax free thing.
Okay.
So I got a few, and I had like a couple last night, and it's just I've been drinking it something else, like Blue Moon and some Icelandic stuff some other Belgian stuff, and that's fine. But this...
It's not a Hoegaarden.
It's just like coming home. Yeah. I mean, I have one Icelandic variety in my fridge and a German one. I was ready to mix it up, but this is just... I don't know.
You can't... Yeah. You can't beat the Hoegaarden, apparently.
You cannot.
No.
Oh, my God.
That's good. So now you got the beer in place. Have you been up to anything else these past 2 weeks other than Parenthood?
Surprisingly,
and
I've been
preparing some parenting.
Yeah. Well, I did put together a changing What do you call that? When you change your baby?
Table?
Changing table, yes.
Changing table.
Thank you. that word table was missing. Great. Yeah. I'm in rare form here tonight.
Yes.
It seems.
Great shape here.
Yeah. So I did that and it was good. And Sumerle helped and we're quite happy. And we kind of made him think he chose the place for it because we had to move a lot of his stuff from downstairs. Okay. Move yeah. his stuff and make it a little less of his mm-hmm. floor, and yeah. We managed to do that. So that's he helped good. Help me, and he said it's gonna be here, and I'm like, all right, let's keep it here,
yeah.
Which was basically the only option, and but I did ask. So where do you want to put it? And I was just standing mm-hmm. in front of it and just looking at it. It's like over there. Really? That's great. And this is exactly the spot where his, you know, toys were like a couple of days ago.
Okay.
Well, but that's good. He has his room, he doesn't have to have toys everywhere.
Exactly.
So there you go. But movie-wise, I have been strangely, and this is like the first time in maybe 10 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been just... I have been tired from work. And I've been just... when I have time, right. I just want to have something on that just doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been putting Friends on since it's right there on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's fine. Then also, Shep has been nagging me for a while to check out Easy. On Netflix.
Easy.
And we're like 5 episodes into the first season. And it's pretty fucking
about?
Good. It's pretty good. They're like vignettes. You know, it's a... Yeah. I think... I haven't read up on it, but I think it's all in Chicago. It all takes place mm-hmm. in Chicago, I think so. And they have like vignettes, and each episode is a independent story and with new characters, actors, and everything. And then they come back. Mm-hmm. I'm told,
okay.
You know, Maron was on, and he's like in the third one, which mm-hmm. is out now, but just one episode.
Okay,
but they are like a little bit. I don't know what I'm saying here.
Your words.
Yeah.
Your words are not there.
I need more. I mean, characters, they move, you know, you can see it's Chicago, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
It's not really selling it
I'm
to me.
I'm just going
to
cut my losses on this and say I like it. I'm 5 episodes in. It's pretty good.
All right. Okay, so then I'll go ahead and say these past few weeks I've been building stuff also. Not a changing table, but closets and toy storage.
Nice.
From IKEA.
IKEA.
Yes. Because we just moved in basically,
mm-hmm.
and there's just a lot of stuff that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I also had Raskva help me, but not so much because it was kind of a big thing. But she was glad to help open the boxes and give me the right tools or attempt to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. The official stance on that changing table is that we made it together.
Okay.
But he was basically just running around in circles and making my tools disappear. But we did it together.
This whole magic thing is fascinating these days.
Mm-hmm.
Is similar to magic?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
Okay. Now we tried a few weeks ago, I think a month ago or something, to tease Raskva a little bit by making things disappear. Basically, we were just telling her, okay, so try to turn around and then look at it again, and then things disappeared. And she was so weirded out by that. It's really fun to do. And now every morning, her grandmother is still here visiting.
Yeah.
And she can make balloons appear.
Cool.
So, yeah. So how she does that is...
it's anyone's guess.
Yeah. No, like in the mornings, sometimes she's saying, yeah, you could probably make a balloon magically appear. So she goes to her little room, that very tiny room you have, and she closes the door. And Reshko is just standing outside thinking, okay, now the balloon is magically going to appear. And all of a sudden... She opens the door, and there is a balloon. And Reshko is amazed, because Amma, grandmother, can do magic.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so magic is a big thing right now. Anyway, that's what's been going on, and loads of other things, of course. But
I can talk about balloons a little bit.
Can you?
Obviously, yeah. We watched Eurovision last time.
Mm-hmm.
You did as well, right?
We did, yes.
You tried to take the old college try, yes. Yeah.
Yes, and I also took your advice and brought a few beers. I actually also did a gin and tonic, I think. Yeah, just to spice it up a little bit more.
Well, I did tell you it's not really about the music. No. That would be madness. You know. But I will say this. We always watch it, of course, the main event, and it's fun. This year was okay music-wise compared to how it usually is, yes. Yes, yeah. I'm not kidding.
No, okay. Well, I'm glad I haven't been watching it the past years. There's actually only one song I was... impressed with and that was the Australian one.
Yeah, that was quite a show there.
It was quite a show, and it was actually a singer who could sing.
She was good.
You know, classically trained, you could hear that she had control over her voice and was actually a singer.
She was
I couldn't say for most of the other quote-unquote singers.
She was in control of her faculties. I agree. She was good. She smiled a lot. And it was... the song was good. And she reminded me of Kate Bush.
She was standing on a stick.
I thought Kate Bush.
She was... Yeah. I'm a bit Kate Bushy. I was also thinking Fiona Apple a little bit, but... more character to the Fiona Apple voice. Anyway, what was your point before with saying that this year it was good music?
It seems I'm not in control of my faculty tonight.
No.
But Simile spent the whole Eurovision Song Contest, which is, I don't know, 2-3 hours, by having a balloon and just running around and punching it and kicking it and, you know, in the air. And it was just... Yeah. Relentless, and I just don't know how he did it. It was like 2 hours of that, just punching a balloon. I mean, I was quite impressed.
There is nothing more fun.
Yeah, it seems. I was just thinking when you told me about, before that, we should just have balloons here. So he can...
It's actually also... It occupies him, but it also teaches him to catch and throw without ruining a lot of stuff around him. You know, it's much better than a ball.
Well, there are balls and there are balls. I mean, you can have soft balls and there are things, but I agree with you.
I like that it's floaty. I like that.
I sense that you don't really want to talk about Eurovision, but you have to tell me what you thought of the Danish very cutie pie song.
I felt like it was the counter opposite of the Icelandic one.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. And it seemed very safe. It tried to be very safe. And I think, like, I don't want to offend her, but it seemed like she was a bit nervous during the performance, and it seemed just like she had no contact with, like, the content of the song, even though the content of the song was just "Love is forever."
Yeah, I guess. Know? I mean, it was too cutesy, I thought.
It was just, yeah, and then switching to German and French, and it's just such a
little bit of a pandering
vote grab. Yeah, exactly.
What about the Icelandic one? What did you think?
I thought it was all right. Oddly, like 80s Manson-ish kind of stuff. Very pop electro. Maybe, yeah, I would say some Rammstein-ish also.
Pretty cool, I thought.
It was cool, and it was definitely different, and it was the one that stood out.
Finally, not a horrible song from Iceland.
And I was humming it.
Yeah.
In the nice. Passing days. Yes.
So
yeah, I like that.
That concludes our discussion about Eurovision. I think. What?
Yes. Let's just talk a little bit about one movie I did watch.
Okay.
Actually, I watched one movie last time. That was Enemy.
Okay.
Have you heard about that movie? It's Denis Villeneuve, and it's with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's basically about Jake Gyllenhaal, who's a history teacher, and he realizes that he has a doppelganger by watching a movie.
Okay.
And then he seeks out this doppelganger. And the whole thing turns into this kind of creepy affair. I really enjoyed this film. And I watched it with Elin, and she also enjoyed it. And it's one of these films that she told me the day after, because this is some things I'm often asking her, like, are you still thinking about these films? Mm-hmm. Because that's a trait of a film that I really like. Films, if you could actually deal with it a little bit later, you know, and continue to think about it. And she has continued to think about it. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. It's a bit artsy. It has this reality, and then it has a surreal dream area to it. And then there's the whole question of, is it actually a doppelganger, or mm-hmm. is it the same guy, or are they, like, how is this constructed? And it's really fun to watch. It has some very good effective use of music and audio, and there are a few scenes where you're really like feeling that fright of the unknown.
Sure.
So
2013. Yeah. Where did you find it? Is it like Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Cool.
You know, watching it, I'm just so, like, I'm so impressed with Denis Villeneuve. Mm. And I want to watch more of these films, his films. One in particular, Incendies, I think. I would like to catch up with some of those. Also, Blade Runner, his version, like the sequel to Blade Runner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially Dune in 2020.
Cool.
Did you ever watch the first one?
I did not. Is it a remake or a...
I think it's a reimagining or like a retelling of that story. Mm. David Lynch's Dune was
a failure. I read it's
basically a failure, and I think even like David Lynch doesn't want to acknowledge it.
I mean, it's one of those things where he's a fairly young filmmaker, and it's not his script,
he's not in control,
or anything. He just
no.
came in and started directing.
But we have Kyle MacLachlan and we have Sting in Dune. And that kind of makes it something that you should watch?
That makes it okay.
I don't know if it's okay.
I mean, if there's Kyle MacLachlan, things are going to be okay.
Things, yeah, more okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's say in 2020 when Dune comes out, mm-hmm. let's do a double feature.
Let's do that, yes.
All right.
I should mention that I watched one Netflix film with Ship, and we had quite a good time. It was Wine Country, Amy Poehler's film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I think it's great for I thought it was a good night. I thought it was funsies, you know? If you're a woman in your early 50s or late 40s, and you can connect and relate, yes. So, it was...
Did you channel your inner 40-year-old woman?
50-year-old woman, yeah.
Yeah, 50-year-old woman.
I think I just may have, yes. Okay. That was fun. And it was Amy Poehler. I mean, if it was... Nicholas Winding Refn, I would say it's horrible, but it was Amy Poehler, so it's good.
Okay, it was fine. I don't quite know what that means, but okay. Anyway, a few other mentions, because this past week a lot of stuff has been going on. I mean, we haven't even discussed Cannes at all, and Cannes has been going on.
Yep.
You know, and Tarantino's film has been shown, and to great division of the crowds, you know, people.
Has it been divisive?
A bit. So I'm still interested to seeing it, even though I feel like he's starting to be a little bit too full of himself. But Bong Joon-ho winning the Palme d'Or, with Parasite.
That's exciting. Should
catch up with that one. And finally, Woman at War has entered the cinemas in Denmark.
Yep.
How about that? That was just in time, right?
Do you think you can make it out and watch it?
Maybe.
Because it's on demand here.
Yeah.
It's on demand, but yeah.
We really should try to get that done.
Yeah,
because I want to. Yeah, I've already seen it.
Yeah, we've both watched it, but it's a while back now.
Yeah,
and I want to do it complete justice and just have it fresh in my mind if I'm gonna do a show.
Yeah, let's try to talk about that one next time. But I just want to make this shout out: if you're in Denmark, go and watch Woman at War. I mean, you need to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think good. It's safe to say we can. It comes highly recommended. Well, by me at least.
It does, and it's very relevant in these climate aware times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now that the European election is also going on, where climate is front and center.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. It is time for Parenthood.
Diarrhea. When you're sliding into home and your shirts are full of foam. Diarrhea. When you're sitting in your Chevy and your shirts are feeling heavy. Diarrhea.
Kevin, honey, where'd you learn that song?
Last summer at camp, Mom.
Ah, that was money well spent.
That was a clip from the classic film Parenthood, starring Steve Martin and a plethora of other people. Let's say Diane Wiest.
Obviously,
and
obviously
her. And Leif Phoenix, known as Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin, yes.
Yes. And Keanu Reeves.
And Keanu, yeah.
Mary Steenburgen. So many people. It's a movie about parenthood. And apparently this family, the family Buckman, has all the problems you could think of. Family problems you could think of.
Now, I disagree with that.
They're cursed. They're cursed. No, they have everything.
No. You're wrong. But...
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree that there are more things that could be wrong, but, you know, they are a troubled family.
for the 80s in the US, this, I guess this could, yeah, this could be said, but when okay. you look at it a little bit better, they're really good. They're doing well.
Mm. All right. So, yeah, you really wanted to talk about this film.
I just tell you true, I just wanted to watch it again. I always yeah. like watching it. It's just, and we watched it last night, me and Sheldon. It was just amazing. You know, mm. I always get teary-eyed every time I watch this.
At which point? Like at the very end?
Well, first of all, I laugh a lot. And yeah. sometimes that leaves me teary-eyed. I'm not like crying. Shedden asked me last night, are you crying? I'm like, no, I'm not crying. Just there are tears, just yes, like, but I'm not crying.
I'm just so happy.
Yeah. Well, you tell you what, I could connect strongly with Gil Buckman.
Yeah, played by Steve Martin.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's not, I mean, I do now, but when I saw it first and the next 10 times I saw it, I just loved the humor. Yeah. There's so much to love here. I mean, right from the off, just from the first scene there.
Yeah, when he imagines himself as a little boy, Steve Martin, yeah. talking to the
yeah.
Usher.
Yeah, yeah. Great scene. And you mentioned the cast. I mean, the cast. Ugh. Steve Martin, Mary Steenburgen, yeah. Jason Robards. What a actor that was.
That's the guy who Grandpa. Played Amadeus. No. Okay. Who was
Tom Hulce. Amadeus? Tom Hulce is that, as yeah, the black I sheep of the family, the youngest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rick Moranis. Diane mm-hmm. Weiss, Keanu Reeves, Martha Plimpton, and Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, has there ever been a picture that could actually make this work? And there's a scene with Keanu Reeves and Diane Weiss. Mm-hmm. It's like a big scene.
It is.
And it's completely perfect scene. Keanu Reeves and Diane Weiss.
Is it?
It yeah. is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keanu I'm expecting Reeves from you to the, poke holes in this.
Yes. Yeah.
Please do. That's
because
fine.
you have like rose-colored glasses here watching this film.
I guess we project. I guess I connect to Gil. I connect to his experiences with his father.
Yeah.
And I connect with him being somewhat of a worrier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to keep things together. I understand his situation at work. I connect yeah. to that yeah. as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His wife, she kind of reminds me of Shep.
Okay.
Yeah. And so
I see.
I mean, we all project. I mean, but I'm completely aware of the fact that this is a very clean look at family, you know. It's very clean, but somehow it feels honest to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, because to me it seems like this movie that really tries to reach all kinds of family dynamics you can get in order for people to latch on to things that they can recognize. You know, a little bit like a fortune teller trying to give you the obvious answers to many common things, and then you feel like it reaches you. That's the feeling I'm left with a little bit here. It doesn't change that it hits some really good notes or points, but it's very obvious, I think, and it's also just obviously it just has everything, you know. I introduced this segment by saying it was a very troubled family, and you know, I tried to write it down all the things that they deal with. I don't even want to read it, but you know, there's troubled teens. There are like problems with discovering your sexuality. There's hidden sexuality taboos. There are the gambler, some addiction stuff. There are plethora of themes in this movie.
Like we have in extended families. Let me tell you about us here. Of course, my family, I come from a family that's pretty closed. You know, people don't really talk about their feelings much and stuff like that. But after I met Shep, I mean, we're in very close contact to her family. Mm-hmm. What you didn't mention there about stuff that's in there is like this generational struggle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also that one.
You have a struggle between... The young generation, young people wanting to get married, you know, Keanu Reeves and Martha Plimpton, both of them are just amazing here. Keanu Reeves was amazing in this film. I'm not listening to anything else from you about that.
Like Keanu. I really like him. And I had to look it up because I was thinking... Bill and Ted, Bogus Adventure, Excellent Adventure, all that. It's released in the same year.
Yeah.
Actually, a little bit before this film.
He was a lot like he was there.
He was completely the same character. Yeah. And I love Keanu for it, you know. And I looked in and looked at his filmography, and he's been doing a lot of stuff before Bill and Ted. And I think we should go in and look a bit more of all his gems in the past.
Tell you what, John Wick 3 is out.
Well, gems of the past, I said. And that doesn't include John Wick 2.
Yeah. I just saw a film with him on TV the other night when I was, last weekend, I think, with him and... Renee Zellweger.
Aha.
Yeah. Okay. It was some legal drama that I hadn't heard of, which is strange with these names.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I watched it and I thought, yeah, okay, I get it. It didn't.
That's a reason why it
didn't. I mean, it's okay. It. It's not bad. I don't remember the name of the film, but it doesn't matter. But where were we? Yes, the generational thing.
Yes.
And Shep's family, it's we hang out with her parents a lot. And we like to hang out with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother's family, there are a few siblings, and we have all kinds of shit going on. Like you mentioned, problems, all kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Every kind of issue. You can find, I could, if you name it, I could point to it. I'm not gonna, but around it, but this is just a normal family. It's just, it's pretty close, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This happens in every family, I'm guessing. But, and this is why also it rings true for me.
Yeah.
And it does not bother me at all that there are many issues that they're trying to cram in there, if I understand you correctly.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's what you got. Yeah.
But from the first scene, the generational thing is obvious. I was just so happy to see.
I think all the themes that they put in there are good. They're just left unexplored to a certain extent because there's so many themes in there.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour film.
Yeah. And you know, to me, watching this film, we have a lot of filler. And then we have the core of the story, which is Keanu Reeves and the teenage girl and Diane Wiest. Yeah.
Is that the core of the story?
That I feel like that is the core because that is the most grounded. Diane is probably one who has the most like
Diane Wiest, yes.
Yeah, Diane Wiest has the most unspoken history, You know, we don't get a lot of her story. It's the most underplayed one where you can actually dive a little bit into what has happened to her.
Okay.
You know, and also Joaquin Phoenix, even though he was very young, he's really showing some of his talents already here.
What a fucking performance that was.
Yeah.
This guy's 13 at least or something.
At least until he gets really happy. But like, until that point, that is the core. And that's what I've always thought about when watching and thinking about Parenthood. That is Keanu Reeves, it's Diane Wiest, and then Joaquin, whom I didn't knew were Joaquin back then. So just the little boy. And then the other thing just seems like a Steve Martin comedy, and it's kind of uneven. Don't get me wrong. There are some fun scenes, and it hits on some good points. But my ultimate problem with it now is that everything is tied up into this neat bow. You know, all these issues that they have, they're all being dealt with, and they all come together at the end, and everything has their beginning and the conclusion. And I don't know, that doesn't ring true to me. And I know this is a comedy drama, or like a comedy with some infused drama in it.
I completely disagree with you. I mean, we have a family of Jason Roberts is the patriarch there. And we have four siblings. We have Gil, and then we have Steve Martin. We have Rick Moranis' wife, which I forget her name. And we have Diane Wiest, and we have Tom Hulce. Each, they're different people, but each and every one of them has a lot of problems. I mean, that's just life. It's just life. I don't think it's a Steve Martin comedy. Like I said before, I just connected fairly strongly to his. I get what he's going through. He has a line that says,
My whole life is have to.
That is also a good point.
Yes. You know, there are some good points, but that whole scene is very... it just swells, you know. You have the music, you have the obvious morality here, but that scene is good. I agree with you.
But I said before, it's very clean. I mean...
Yeah.
It's not dark in any shape or form. I mean, you can argue that the black sheep, Tom Hulce, he leaves his son. He's a moron, you know. But there's something to be said. They just hit it right on the head there with the birth order. I actually listened to a podcast the other day with Josh and Chuck about birth order. Did you listen to that?
No, I didn't. No,
but. It basically outlines, you know, the roles kids have within a family based on the birth order. And Gil was exactly what he should have been. And Tom Hulce was exactly what he should have been. But, well, I mean, I'm not saying the younger should be an idiot, but it definitely...
Here I am.
Yeah, it's definitely I got all the attention and I don't really care about anything, you know.
It's true.
I just think it hit the nail on the head with a lot of that stuff.
It's just still a bit over the top.
It's a comedy, I mean.
But that's my argument here that I don't know if it works that well as this comedy drama, because I don't find a lot of the comedy very funny.
Really?
Nostalgically, I do find it a bit funny because I remember watching it, but now when watching it, I'm just like I find it a bit obvious. And I find it a bit like not so.
I mean,
funny.
I'm not gonna listen to that. Come on, man.
No.
Come on.
I'm tearing down your nostalgia.
I'm not gonna say broad comedy is bad. Broad comedy is broad comedy. This is a broad comedy, I would say.
Yeah.
But it's very, very good broad comedy with a drama. I would describe it like that a little.
I would, though.
Well, the whole...
I know we should judge the movie from what it is.
The whole thing about it is that it rings true despite of these things. And, above all, it's 2 hours of complete pure fun. For me, at least.
Yeah. It's a sketch show with different kinds of, you know, family issues that are dealt with in different sketches. And some of them are very good and some of them are less interesting, in my opinion.
I guess you could say you could have cut that whole Third Born with Rico Moranis, and that you could have cut that whole thing out, I guess, if you wanted to.
Yeah. But then thinking back at it, it is one of those things I'm thinking about in my own parenting. You know, this whole thing about pacing kids and trying to make them achieve a lot of stuff when they're very young, or like, should they learn a lot or should they be kids a lot? And that's what they hit there. They do it a bit over the top. Well, very much over the top, but it hints at something that is true, of course. And I have thought about parenthood while parenting, you know?
Yeah.
Due to those scenes.
You seem sometimes, Druna, to have a thing about comedies. You just don't rate them. I mean,
it's because comedy is so, it's very hit and miss for me, or hit or miss, I guess, not hit and miss. I do like some of this stuff, but I don't know, like Steve Martin, I just couldn't do it this time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched it before Resco was born, Parenthood, because I was thinking Parenthood, that's right up our alley at that time. And I checked on Letterboxd and I gave it 4 stars. I really enjoyed it. Maybe having a kid, my funny bone has diminished.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm way too serious these days. And
there's a scene in the beginning there when they are at the baseball park, and after the kind of the flashback, Gil's flashback, that whole scene on how they get the kids into the car, that whole thing, and singing about diarrhea. And it's all so very relatable. And my point is this: you can be relatable and you can tell a story and you can actually make people think using comedy. In that scene, just if you look at the kids were great throughout that scene. They were not acting. At no point I thought they were acting. It was a great. I just connected strongly to lugging Shimalila around and listening to him talk about feces. Like, he gets into these moods where he only talks about shit. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Everything is kuka, 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 kuka this, kuka that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the kindergarten thing.
It's like, this is how parenting life is. You're tired all the time. And it just it's they put it in a funny package. They have broad comedy. You have, I mean, sometimes you have Steve Martin going over the top. And that's, I don't really care about that. I mean, when his son's baseball team wins the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I know exactly what you mean by that, but it just did not bother me.
So you're basically just looking past it for all the other things that are in here.
I'm looking past it because of all the good stuff it's bringing me. Most of all, a beautiful couple of hours.
Yeah. I have to say, I loved that scene in the beginning with them getting into the car and people just running all over the place. Now, I don't have a car, but I do have a Christiania bike and just getting, which is like a boxed bike, you know?
Yeah.
And getting Reshkva up into that one when we get down in the mornings, when she's just saying like, just a moment, puppy. I'm just going around the corner. I'm just going to the playhouse a little bit. That's just, it rang very true and it seemed very real, that scene. I have to say.
The whole film, I mean, you can't compare it to like European realistic realism cinema or anything like that. I mean, you don't watch films in a vacuum like we've talked about before. This is a Hollywood film.
We started a film yesterday. We're going to finish it, but it's called My Family or The Family from Georgia.
Georgia?
Georgia? Yeah,
Georgia. That country in Europe?
The country in Europe.
Former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
Yes. And that, I'll tell you, it was a great opposite to Parenthood because it had all the same stuff. Nothing was pronounced. Nothing. There are, I would say, all the same themes as in Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is addressed verbally and hit with a hammer in the same way as Parenthood is. But there's also some good stuff to be said about like hammering home your points, I guess. I was just a bit fed up. It seemed like the whole beginning of the movie was about all the problems, and then the latter half, maybe the last like 40 minutes, was just moral analogy upon moral analogy.
Well, you can't have a resolution in the beginning, Bruno. You can't do that.
I know, but I mean, because there's so many small stories, you have these, like, you have four endings that are all like the one segment that I really like with Diane Wiest and stuff. She's really changing extremely quickly because they need her to change. They need her to acknowledge her daughter's relationship at that one point. And I would have loved to have seen the development there because I know that they could have done something. I mean, had they focused on that one family, I would have loved to have seen that film. Because you have the comedy in Keanu Reeves, and you have the high drama with Diane Wiest and also Joaquin Phoenix. And that would have been a great film in itself. And give them room to breathe a little bit. But you know, the last 40 minutes is just a lot of explanations of what they need to do. Like one that I noted down was the grandmother,
the roller
coaster, talking about roller coasters.
Yes.
And you know, this is it's a fine thing.
It's,
you know,
broad.
It's like it's pocket philosophy. You know,
it's broad as well. I mean,
yeah, and it hits you, and you're like,
Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. But right when she starts talking about it, it's just the swelling music, and then you even have Steve Martin say, what is she talking about? As if you didn't get it when she just said, I used to love roller coasters, but then she had to go into the whole story about the ups and downs and not a merry-go-round, and that's just the whole film in a nutshell.
It's like, not really supposed explaining. To be for intellectual people. It's supposed to be for everybody, so everybody gets it. This is the definition of Hollywood. Isn't it?
No, it's not so the Hollywood. We can't
watch films in a vacuum. It's a Hollywood film. I know it's a Hollywood film. Like I said before, with genre films like rom-coms, there are romantic comedies I enjoy, and it's fine. I have no problem with people making films within a set of rules.
No.
Like you do in a genre. No, you have action films, you have comedies, you have romantic comedies, whatever. I'm fine with that. And if they are well done within those set of rules, I applaud. This thing is much more than a comedy.
Well, it's trying to be a drama as well.
Well, it is a story of a family. Most of all, My favorite aspect of it is the generational thing. Gil and his father, basically. I just love seeing Jason Robards. He was such a great actor. I know you dislike the Steve Martin thing a little bit, but
Also the black sheep part was just a bit too much over the top, like having him like playing a thing like that for laughs, like that he's being thrown out of a moving car you know, and it just makes the whole thing a little bit too silly, but it's also very serious stuff.
Would you say broad even? I have conceded that point.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's talk about something else. Let's not fight for a while.
No.
Let's talk about the 80s. Yes.
Just the 80s.
Yes.
How 80s this thing is.
I wrote some things down.
Yeah, okay. I also have another point. Okay, so what did you write down about the 80s?
Camera.
It's a simple.
Develop pictures. Shoulder pads.
No cell phones.
No
when
cell
the
phones.
Light goes out.
Video,
like, oh my
video
God.
Game arcade.
Yeah.
You know, like alcohol
continues to play the Nintendo.
The and of course saying. that before the and Me Too, like Kevin Hubba Hubba. The maternity ward, where you get the baby, and it's put into a box, and everybody's coming to look at it. It's just so weird that they don't do it like that now.
No, not anymore. And they were not so scared of school shootings.
No,
back then that was a scene that really stood out to me.
Yeah,
let's
tell me about that.
When the emotionally problematic kid didn't respond but it didn't catch the ball, and Steve Martin is thinking, oh no, what have I done? And then you go to this dream sequence where this guy is just shooting everyone, and then particularly you have one shot with Steve Martin standing with like a megaphone in his hand, and it's getting shot out of his hand, and he's like encouraging him and saying like,
good shot, Kevin.
You need to encourage them. I mean, at least it was a good shot. And I was just thinking, whoa, I mean, this kind of humor today, this would be kind of edgy.
I guess you could say, you know, that. Yeah, that's pretty 80s for you.
It's like you don't have any problems, so we'll just think about it. But maybe it's, you know. But that it's actually a point that I kind of liked about it, because it actually went a place that you wouldn't go today.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I thought that was a good point, because at least me, I think about how my actions are going to sit with my son and how it's going to pan out. How am I affecting him? I mean, I want him to be his own person. I want my kids to be, you know, grow up strong, and I want them to grow up like, you know, think for themselves, and I don't want them to be scared of me in any way, or want them to be able to come to me with anything. So you're always thinking, oh my God. I mean, being a parent, it does happen that you get like a little angry sometimes. It happens. It happens to me. It happens to everybody, I think. We just, you do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you raise your voice a little bit. It's very rare for me, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you always like, oh my God, what have I done? Jesus.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect my son?
Yeah.
And that point with Gil, I just came across very, very clear for me. I get that. And the whole thing about being a parent, I mean, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm more subscribing to Mary Steenburgen's version of it, that everything is chaotic and you can't control all of these things, because if you start trying to control it, you'll go crazy.
Yeah,
you will pinpoint all these situations where you do something that you might, well, you shouldn't maybe have done, but you did.
I mean,
so you just need to make up for it. You need to figure out how to address it next time.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
I subscribe to that as well. I'm just thinking. It's unavoidable as a parent. You think about how you affect your child.
Yeah, you do.
Mm.
You do, and that is a very true thing. You know, and this movie is really like pointing out all these true facts. You know, so it's
another great thing.
Good in that.
You talked about it being like a sketchy and some are good and some are bad. But one thing that everybody has in common here is that everybody's a mess. You know, everybody's making a lot of mistakes. Every one of them.
Yeah.
The kids, the parents, everybody's trying their best, but everybody's just making a lot of mistakes. And that's just how life is. And that's a good point to make, even though it's made in a comedy. And we can laugh at it, but we get the point. And again, I got the point.
They really hammered the point.
they did.
You know, so I'm glad Hollywood you got does. The point.
That's what Hollywood does. This is Imagine Films. They did all right. They did all right in Hollywood, those guys.
I would have loved a little bit of like more downtime with some of the characters where you didn't address some of their problems, but just the family life. You know, just the normal situations, instead of always going to the extremes of something like getting a vibrator out, you know, like just like, yeah, okay, you got it. And like it's just so pronounced, all these things, and it's good like that, but you just need a little bit of counterbalance. It's just going on that, like you always expect something bad to happen all the time throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to, like, because I really like these characters. It is a very good cast, and all these characters feel real.
I can't believe you're talking about this film as if you don't like it. I just
yeah, I know. But it's also because you seem to like it so much, and I think there are problems here. But it is still a nostalgic pick for me.
I mean,
you know,
there are problems in certain contexts. Overall, if you look at it as an '80s Hollywood film, there are no problems. There are no problems.
maybe not.
Like everybody's a mess, and there are things that don't get resolved at all. Do you think that relationship between Gil and his father gets resolved in some way? It doesn't. It does not get resolved because you know what? It never does.
No,
my relationship with my father is never going to be resolved.
It's one of those points, but there is a bit of consolation when he seeks out his son to get advice.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you have a sense of consolation.
Yeah, that happens with when people get old, when they start relying on their kids more. I know what that is. I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too. But that doesn't mean you resolve anything. I mean, it also...
No, but there's a sense of resolvement.
Yeah, sense.
Yes, you know. and then don't show it like that. Then make it stay unresolved.
But that's what you do in a different kind of film.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a broad comedy drama thing.
That's what you keep on saying.
Yeah, that's how we do it. That's how we do it.
But we have some very good drama actors here.
I think it's just a great ode to family life.
Yeah. You know,
when nothing gets resolved.
Do you know what we haven't addressed at all?
Okay, give me.
It is the director.
Yes.
Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of those great American directors. Can you name other movies that Ron Howard has done? The top of your head?
Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
Then big, I'm gonna just going to click him here on Wikipedia.
Big Hollywood films. also, one we've discussed on this show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, for instance.
Yes.
he's also done Splash. In the 80s.
Yeah, with Brian Grazer for Imagine Films.
Yeah. Looking through these films, I do have some nostalgic picks.
Yeah.
Like Willow, for instance.
I haven't seen that.
No, I watched that a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Cocoon, I also really liked, with these old people who became young by touching a cocoon that came from space. It's a very sweet film. And looking through his filmography, it's like nostalgic picks, and then it's very much like Hollywood. Very good, solid films. But when I'm thinking about them, I'm just like... It's none of these films that really stand out in my mind, but it's like good, solid films. Like for instance, Apollo 13, if it's on TV, if you would watch Flow TV and you sit down and just watch it, you're getting sucked in to it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's quality filmmaking. But it might not leave you with too much, but it's like, it's good.
I mean, he is in the business of entertainment.
Yeah.
He's in the entertainment business. He's not in the art film business.
No. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's doing. He's making films that work like that, you know? And yes. It's good. Most recently, he's been doing Solo, the spin-off of Star Wars.
I refuse. Apparently. I yes. prefer not to.
No, exactly.
I prefer not to.
But so
there you go.
But that's a little bit my point here. Like he's like a bit all over the place with his movies, but mostly it is very solid films. But
I mean, he knows his craft for sure.
They're not challenging you.
No.
And they lay out everything you need to know.
Yeah. I think maybe this one is kind of makes you think it's going to be okay. Because parenting is hard. It's work. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like being a part of a family is a lot of work as well. There are mm-hmm. all kinds of dynamics going on. And I've found this recently. You know, it's there are all kinds of stuff going on and mm-hmm. a lot of unspoken stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here, I mean, in the package of a comedy with such a wonderful cast, he does deliver somewhat of a good message to us parents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gonna be okay, but at the same time,
is that a faulty message? Is it a very American feel good message?
No, it's a point of view, I think. Yeah. I think it's a point of view for everybody. You can look at life and think, yeah, it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna do my best here.
I mean, is the grandfather happy?
No, but he's a completely different character. I mean, it's a very well constructed character, if you ask me, mm-hmm. because he's a complete different generation. We don't know if mm-hmm. he was in, I don't know, was he in Vietnam? Was he in Second World War? We don't know mm-hmm. anything about him other than that he's not really a good father in terms of what do you expect in 1989.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that whole generational thing I thought was very well done.
Yeah.
And not in a comedic way, just in a getting the point across kind of way. I'm not gonna turn you here, but it needs to be said.
but I'm trying a little bit to agree with you here, but I do think that maybe the one thing that rings like most true here. Mm-hmm. is the generational aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Might be because of Ron Howard's own background with his father or something, because this is actually the one thing that is not completely resolved, because he kind of just accepts his youngest kid, but he's still frustrated. Whereas all the other characters are kind of just...
No.
Rounding everything off.
Disagree. The black sheep guy, he just runs off. I mean, he's offered the chance to redeem himself and actually turn the page. He runs away, and we dropped right back to the old dynamics between him and his father, where his father says, yeah, all right.
Except okay. he says... that he doesn't think that Cool's father will come back. He says directly to Cool afterwards, like the son of his, that he shouldn't expect him to come back. So this is a turning point. It's a turning point where he actually just lets go. And he's like, okay, this will never be anymore.
No, that was for his benefit, Cool's benefit.
Yeah.
Don't expect him back.
Yeah.
That's how I saw that. Diane Weiss and her family, yes. I mm-hmm. mean, we resolved this whole sexual awakening thing with mm-hmm. with Joaquin Phoenix. But
yes,
I mean,
by having him talk to Keanu Reeves about salami stuff.
Yeah, you need your role models, I guess. But there was no risk. I mean, yes, they were. They had a baby and they were left happy, but we know that Keanu and Martha Plimpton are going to have problems. I mean, she does say, I'll give him 6 months. We'll see. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing resolved here. She got through to them, yes, but there's no resolution. The other sister, I don't know. That's really not relevant. Like I said before, mm-hmm. and Gil, I mean, he has a forthcoming. Yeah. He just has to deal with it. There's no resolution. I just disagree with you there. It's just it's just, I mean, like I said before, I know it's clean, but
I would like more out of this thing. I would just like more, you know, and you don't chew over more than you can. Or how you say that, but keep it more focused. You know, ensemble films are fine, of course, and I can love those types of films, but I just feel like this one is too unfocused and too much of a comedy, with these very serious issues being. Dealt with. I'm getting tired here.
Yeah.
Obviously. So, yeah. Maybe we should just agree to disagree. And this is a nostalgic film for me. And it is a very good film. I just think it has problems.
All right.
Yeah. And if you want to hear us star rating, I withdrew 1.5 star because of it. Because
so
I
2.5 then.
2.5 star. Yeah. Right in the middle of the road.
I actually just logged it on Letterboxd. It's
4.5.
It's about perfect as you can get within its confinement, which is, you know, it's 80s, it's Hollywood, it's a comedy. And working within those boundaries, it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so and I had a great night. I was so happy last night. I just this is what movies can do to you. I mean, just make you happy.
And point out your flaws.
I have a baby coming. I'm aware of my flaws. You know, it made me more aware of them.
Yeah, more so.
And most That's of all, great. It made me feel. That it's going to be okay.
That is good.
Yes.
That is good. All right. As always, if you have any other comments about this film, or if you disagree with us, disagree with you or disagree with me, like hopefully if you agree with me, please let me know.
It's not that often that we disagree so intensely
I think I'm also being more intense in my dislike for this film, because I actually do like it, you know, but it bothers me sometimes.
You do that. You take a stance against me. I am aware of this. That's okay as well.
But if you want to join our conversation, you can send us an email at contact@theconversationpodcast.net, or find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Just do a search for The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast.
Yes.
To continue, Tigme?
Our website, theconversationpodcast.net, great website. Rune has done a good job there.
Thank you. Thank you. Next time, we might be talking about Woman at War if I get some time to go and rewatch it, so we have it fresh in our minds. Or there's a plethora of other films. Aladdin, for instance.
No.
You're not interested in Will Smith?
No.
Not really?
I prefer not to.
Me too. Me neither.
Okay, guys. I think that may be it. Anything else?
That is it. Nope. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.